This morning I want to talk about abounding in hope in a season of weariness. And this season for us all, this last year, has been different. It's been harder. It's been longer. And the word that I'm now sitting with is, could it possibly be better for us all? I hear a phrase that says, no pain, no gain. And usually when we say that little phrase, we're referring to exercise, marathons, 10,000 steps, no pain, no gain. I want to give you another thought this morning. It's similar, but slightly different. And the other little thought to think with this morning is no hope, no cope. Try and think about that. No hope, no cope. Without hope, I wouldn't be coping. Our Bible reading is just one text this morning. It's Romans chapter 15 and verse 13. And it says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I'd love, if we had time, I'd love to stop at certain parts of that one verse and explore little parts of it more fully. But the first place I want to stop, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. And certainly in a weary season or a lonely season or an empty season, it's quite hard to know joy and peace in our believing. Sometimes we have enormous questions, sometimes we have enormous doubts, and sometimes living in the uncertainty that we've just come through can take its toll on our peace, in our joy, and also in our hope. My prayer for me, my prayer for you, may the God of hope fill you with all joy in believing. And I started to think, what would it look like if we were filled with joy and peace in our believing, and we started to move in our worship from a culture of joy? I want to work in a culture of joy. I want to worship in a culture of joy. I want to, in my believing, experience the joy and peace that God wants to distribute to us this morning. But the verse doesn't stop there. It goes on to say that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I love that picture of abounding in hope. Some of you might remember the Marks and Spencer's Christmas advert where Buster the boxer got onto a child's trampoline and spent time just bounding, abounding, sheer joy and delight and freedom. The word abounding means providing a great and plentiful supply. Simply put, it just means full of. May you be full of, may you be abounding, may you have a great and plentiful supply of hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. The opposite word to abounding, there's two or three different words, but the opposite words, or the opposite sense of that word, is to wilt, to wither, to droop, to decline. And I don't want to go there. I want to stay with abounding, that we would have a great and plentiful supply of hope. The question that I regularly ask myself, how do we practice hope? We know that faith, hope, and love abides, but how do we practice hope? As believers, how do we move into that abounding in hope phrase that I so love this morning? How do you and I practice hope in a season of loneliness or a season of emptiness? Or a season of weariness? We've experienced a great deal of emptiness and probably possibly loneliness as well. A few weeks ago, I drove into Edinburgh. Strangely, I think I hoped some little shops would be open. I was looking for a special kind of coffee. And I was amazed to see the empty streets. The Royal Mile was empty. George Street was empty. Princess Street was empty. And we have become, I suppose, used to empty streets, empty churches, empty offices, empty trains. But the emptiness that I'm referring to, how do we practice hope in a season of emptiness? I'm not just talking about an empty diary or an empty street. The emptiness I'm alluding to this morning is the emptiness that is soul crushing. And I see people losing hope because of the soul crushing nature of weariness and loneliness and emptiness. The emptiness of the loss of a loved one, the emptiness of the loss of a dear friend, the miscarriage, the divorce, the emptiness of being laid off, the emptiness when we hear of people losing their businesses and special businesses that they've worked their whole life to create. And so the question is, how do we practice hope? When seasons we're going through just now that are different and harder and longer, and how do we stir up hope? And I have learned something, I suppose, over the past year. It's taken me a little while. I've slowly learned that optimism is not enough. That's quite a big thing for me to say. I was trained in positive psychology. And I was trained that if we could have a ratio of 5 to 1 positive expressions in our life, that we would flourish. But if we have a ratio of 5 to 1 negative in our lives would flounder. But optimism, I'm learning, is not enough. When COVID first hit and first lockdown last March, I think I kind of thought, I can do this. And I kind of smacked my face and I started to walk and I started to bounce on a trampoline and I did my very, very best, my personal best, to cope with all this. And I then realised in the second wave, the second lockdown, that optimism is not enough. Positive psychology, positive thinking is not enough. And I realised I needed something more than positive thinking. I needed glorious thinking. I needed supernatural power to break through into my mind and pierce my heart where weariness and uncertainty almost became a weight and an oppression. And that means I want you to ask yourself a question. The question that I am asking and have been asking myself for a little while is, would I say that I am abounding in hope in this season? You might say, would you say? I might say, I wonder what my family would say if I asked them the question, am I abounding in hope in this season of weariness? And I realised that I had to start deliberately finding ways of prayer and worship and practice to stir up hope. And this became very necessary. A few weeks ago, I had a birthday, and strangely enough, usually when I have a birthday, it is a great moment for celebration, but we were in lockdown and we weren't allowed people in the house and we were only allowed one family in the garden. And I woke up and I started to think about this birthday and I drooped and I wilted. And by about 10 o'clock, I was sure that decline would start setting in and that my thoughts were, well, it will be all downhill from now on. And in that moment, I seemed to lose hope. it almost felt as if hope was leaking out of me instead of the opposite picture of abounding in hope. How do we recover from these moments when either we believe a lie or we have a negative thought or there comes a circumstance that causes us to wilt, to droop, to decline and to lack in hope? What's the answer? For me, that morning, I heard the whisper of the Holy Spirit, "Come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And this is an invitation that you and I know well. This morning, we've had a prayer from Paul that the God of all hope would grant you joy and peace in your believing and that you would abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. There's our prayer this morning. Here's our invitation this morning. And the invitation is something about come. Come to me. Come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And there's something that we need to address in the realm of weariness, in the realm of those of us who lack hope. I think weariness is beyond tiredness. When we first started to use Zoom, I was terribly excited. I thought, this is amazing. Zoom, Zoom, Zoom all over the world, and we don't even have to leave home now to go on a mission or to speak at a conference or to see our friends virtually. But then weariness seemed to set in, and people are now saying they've got COVID fatigue and Zoom fatigue, and we've got new words for weary and tired and heavy laden with uncertainty. And into that feeling, the God of all hope, the God we know is the God of hope, wants to come. And to those who lack hope and those who don't know hope and those who do not have joy and peace in their believing, I pray that the God of hope would grant us peace and joy in our believing. And there has to be a moment where God breaks in and breaks the bondage and the heaviness that's come upon us through weariness. And that's why Romans 15 and verse 13 has so helped me personally. In the middle of my attitude collapse, when I felt I was going to droop and wilt and have a very bad day, I received a text from a dear old friend. And I want you to always remember you have this ability, the power of encouragement, the power of affirmation, the power of appreciation, the amazing power of kindness. And into my wilting and drooping and leaking hope came this text, and the text just said, "Well, happy birthday, Andrea. That's you just getting going. You're just ready to start. Have a blast and have a great day." And I thought, oh, I'm just ready to get going. And something of that text, the text that says you're just ready to start, when I was maybe feeling that's me, it's downhill all the way and I'm finished now. And then comes the word of encourage. Then comes the word of appreciation and kindness. And how we use our text is just such a lovely vehicle to encourage others. But I want to prophesy, not just tell you my story this morning. My story is that text, that word of encouragement, caused me to start lifting up my hands and abounding in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Strangely enough, something supernatural happened just through a text. But I want to prophesy to those who are feeling empty or weary or lonely or barren. Culture sees you as one thing. Culture says things about you from a cultural viewpoint. But heaven today sees an entirely different thing. Culture may say old, finished, decrepit, and heaven says, this is my treasured one, my possession. You who are younger, particularly those of you who are students at school and at university, those of you who are feeling lonely and unproductive and unfruitful and unfulfilled, culture sees you in a particular way in this season, but the God of heaven sees and says something different than culture. And the God of heaven says, there is the one. Young man, young woman, you are the one who is going to carry my future. The eye of culture, the word of culture, will be totally different than the words that you hear, the God of all hope speaking into your heart. And that's why this morning we want to position ourselves to receive joy and peace in our believing, to realize we love and serve a God of hope who then wants to do something supernatural through the power of the Holy Spirit to cause us to abound in hope. Hold this word weary, because we're going to say goodbye to weariness in a minute. A friend of mine, Catherine Scott, years ago wrote a song called Hungry. Hungry I come to you, for I know you satisfy. I am empty, but I know your love does not run dry. So I wait for you. I wait for you. The next verse says, broken I run to you, for your arms are open wide. I am weary, but I know your touch restores my life. So I wait for you. I wait for you. And if I could sing as well as Catherine, I'd sing you the song. But the words, I am weary, but I know your touch restores my life. And God wants to touch us this morning. He wants to demolish weariness. He wants to destroy the stronghold of weariness and emptiness and loneliness and replace it with the opposite. Rather than lacking in hope, rather than feeling hopeless, he wants us to abound in hope. The picture I have when I think about this, this might be a silly picture, but I had a picture of just layers and layers of champagne glasses all balancing on top of one another, and a great big magnum of the finest champagne coming down from heaven and filling and filling and filling until every glass was overflowing with bubbles, with the river of life, with the river of God that flows from the throne. And that means if we are abounding in hope and receiving peace and joy and are believing through the power of the Holy Spirit, the people around us will get slopped on as we just go about our normal business. And some of you might say, but Andrea, I'm really not a bubbly person. I'm not that sort of person who abounds. My personality, you might say to me, is introvert. I'm quiet. I quite like loneliness. But what I'm talking about this morning is not about personality. This bubble of hope, this abounding in hope, is not about my personality or your personality. This is something that is divine. This is something that is supernatural. This is biblical-based joy and biblical-based peace and supernatural and divine hope. As we finish, you might say, well, how do we move into this? And I think the answer is that there's human means and there's divine means. The human means, that means the things that you and I can do, And the first thing I think that you and I can do is to know God, to respond to the invitation. Come to me if you're weary. Come to me, says Jesus, if you're lonely. Come to me if you're stressed, and I will give you rest. And we come before the God of hope, and we lay our weariness down and exchange it for hope and peace and joy. The second thing that we can do as a human thing that is ours to do is to choose to believe his word, even when our circumstances are difficult, even in this season where it's been different and harder and longer. We choose to believe that God is good. We choose to believe his word. We choose to speak out and declare and remember again the truth of his promises. There's a word that has been so coming to my mind, Lamentations chapter 3, verse 21. We used to sing the song, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness." The Bible says this in Lamentations and chapter 3. It says, "As this I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope." And this is a strange one for me. As a counsellor, I sometimes say to people, forget the past, because God is doing a new thing. And suddenly this morning I'm contradicting myself. Here's the paradox. This I recall. This I remember, and therefore I have hope. Oh, what is he recalling and what is he remembering? He's remembering that God's loving kindness never ceases, his compassion never fail, because they're new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. Human means, divine means. Number one, the first thing about the divine means, that we would abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Abundant power that grants us and stirs up abounding hope. It's supernatural. That we realize the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of God's word. His word has power to pull down and destroy strongholds of weariness, strongholds of tiredness, strongholds of loneliness. But the word of truth also builds and plants into our lives. I received a new word. I want to share it with you just to show you the power of God's word into my moment where I was kind of having an attitude collapse on my birthday. I was reminded of this I recall, this thing I remember, Hebrews 9 and verse 11. It says there, when Christ came as the high priest of the good things to come. Isn't that amazing? I felt the Lord used that word to help me to lift my heart and lift my eyes and lift my mouth and start to praise him. He is the high priest, not of the bad things to come. He's not only the high priest of the atonement, he's the high priest of the good things to come, the favour that is to come, the blessing that's to come, the increase that's to come, the addition that is to come. And so our strategy is that we come before the Lord. We sing and we pray and we memorise and we recall, and we then therefore have hope. David, King David, in Psalm 42 and verse 5, he was very depressed. And he said, he started to talk to himself. I was talking to myself a few weeks ago. "Why so downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed, soul within me?" I'm talking to my soul. I'm talking to my disturbance. I'm talking to my weariness. I'm stirring up hope. And David says, "Hope in God, for I shall again praise thee." It's been months and months and months. Different, harder, longer. Months since we've been in the courts of praise with the throngs of people. And David, as he was talking to himself, he was saying, I will once again praise thee. And we will once again, we will meet again. We will gather. We will be able to take our masks off. We will give a shout of victory. Why so downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? I will hope in God, and once again, we together shall praise thee. Let's pray just for a moment as we end our time together. Father God, we thank you for the prayer this morning from Romans chapter 15, that the God of hope would grant us peace and joy in our believing, and that we may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. And I pray now, Father God, that you would come. I pray you would stir up hope. I pray you would cause strongholds of hopelessness and inner disturbance, emptiness and loneliness to be broken by the power of your word and the supernatural power of your Holy Spirit. And I pray your word would pierce our hearts and pierce our minds, and we would worship you this day as the great high priest who is the Lord of the good things to come. And today we receive, we come to you and we receive. I am weary, but I know your touch restores my life. And we receive your blessing now, in Jesus' name. Amen. It's been lovely being with you, and I'll see you soon.